Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Yeah, we've been on the marathon prayer meetings and all that, so my voice is a little bit beautiful, but it will not stop us this morning. Amen. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor this morning, you will assess unusual mercy. The mercy of God is coming upon you afresh. Say it loud, the mercy of God is resting upon you afresh to change things in your family. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I started something on Friday, and I'm going to build from there. Started on Friday. By the grace of God, the prayer team put together a meeting. So somehow, we're talking about teaching how to pray. So Jesus came to his, the disciples of Jesus came to him, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. How many of us were in that meeting on Friday? Wow. Was a great meeting. I was almost tempted to say we should be holding prayer meetings every Friday. Amen. So they came to Jesus and they said, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So we started discussing that the reason they wanted to know how to pray was because they must have seen the kind of results Jesus got in the place of prayer. They must have seen that Jesus didn't pray exactly like the Jewish people. The Jewish people had a pattern of prayer. Jesus would do that. Then he would go the extra mile. So the question is, what exactly is this guy doing with the Father? The quality of interaction they had. So Jesus would spend quality time discussing with the Father. They would share things together. Sometimes he would stay there and they would be watching. What exactly is this guy doing? They really wanted to know. So somehow, one of them took a bold step and said, teach us. We like your results. We're excited about what you're doing. We can see that it is working for you. Teach us. Now, when we started, I emphasized in that meeting that the real thing I wanted to talk about will not be the pattern of prayer. This is a season of prayer quake and wisdom bank. Today I'm going to focus a lot on prayer. We're going to pray, then I'll share a few things before we close this morning. So I want you to be ready. Amen. Yes. So I started teaching that in that service, what happens when we pray. A lot of things happen when we pray. And a lot of believers do not know the things that happen. So the only pattern of prayer they know is a regular prayer of requests. Always saying, God, give me this. God, give me that. God, I want that. And some of the things that they're placing, they're asking without having to ask for those things. If you understand the purpose of prayer and understand the power of prayer, you will get those results. Jesus said to them, he said, these are the things that the Gentiles seek after. He said, but you need to have a different perspective. Seek first the kingdom of God. Because all the things that you're asking the Gentiles, they're seeking for these things. They're dying for these things. He said, but you have to have a different perspective. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Every other thing will now be added to you. Are we here together? So I said the number one thing that happens in the place of prayer when we begin to pray is that prayer transforms us. The first thing God wants to achieve with prayer, I'll just touch on these two, then I'll touch the main thing for this morning, then I'm sure that we're going to be able to pray. David in Psalm 51 verse 10 said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now he was saying that because he knew the kind of person that he had been and he wanted something new. He knew the kind of person that he had been, and he's trying to say that this is not the kind of life I want to live. This is not the exact kind of person I want to be. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit. A spirit that is more consistent. In other words, I'm not as consistent as I want to be. I'm not living the quality of life as a believer that I want to live. So he said, create in me a clean heart, renew the right spirit. I want a steadfast spirit. The right spirit. One of the things you do when you go to the place of prayer is to picture the kind of person you want to be. Picture the quality of life you want to lead. Picture the quality of Christian that you want to become. Then stay there and pray yourself into that. You need to understand the power of prayer, how it can transform a person. Jesus had an encounter with disciples. He took them to the place of prayer. And the Bible says, while Jesus was praying, his raiment changed. His countenance changed. And they were wondering, like, what exactly is this? They've never seen him in that fashion before. Everything changed in the place of prayer. I've seen people who are terrible people. All of a sudden, they encountered God and started praying. Then God began to work on them. Before God works on things around you, he wants to work on you. And one of the things that prayer does is that prayer gives God access. Because when you are praying, you are opening yourself to a superior being bigger than yourself and saying, I know I have a lot of needs, but I want you first to fill me through and through. Work on me so that I can become the exact person you want me to be. So David said, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a steadfast spirit. So the first thing that prayer does is that prayer is supposed to change you. Prayer is supposed to change who you are. Prayer is supposed to transform you. You are that person, you discover that you have maybe a lying lips. You lie like... And you stay in the place of prayer. And like David, David also had that challenge. He now said, God, I want you to shut the door of my lips and help my heart so that I will not speak the things I should not speak. I don't want to talk like that anymore. He saw the kind of person he wanted to be and saw what he was then. Then he presented like a slip before God and said, God, I want you to make me like you. Think of that kind of prayer. Where you go beyond the prayer of just desiring things, because those things will come. God wants to give us a lot of things, but God wants us to first of all pray. Do you have a picture of the kind of man you want to be? The kind of woman you want to be? The kind of father? The kind of mother? Do you have a clear picture of the qualities and the character that is resident in God that you want to, you know, you covet and say, God, this is the kind of person I want to be? One of the best prayers that God will answer is the prayer of a changed heart, a changed person. God wants us to be changed. Are we here together? Am I communicating? Making any sense to you this morning? Yes. So in the place of prayer, you can say, God, purify my passion. You find it difficult to forgive. You live in bitterness. You always keep malice, highly jealous of other people. You can present that person before God and say, God, take away this person. This is not what I want. This is not the kind of life I want to live. I don't want to be this kind of person. Walk on me through and through. Create in me a clean heart. I open up myself. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, very strong there. It said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The first thing that prayer does is that prayer is at work to change you. Many people think that all prayer will do for them is just to give them one thing or the other. Prayer is a means of communication, discussing with God, first of all, how you want him to change you. I want to look more like you. I want to become more like you. I want to forgive more like you. I want to love more like you. I want to act more like you. I want the kindness of God to come upon my life. I want the Spirit of God breathing upon my heart to make my character refined so much that I reflect the God life. Please desire it. When a man encounters God in that way, he's the best husband ever. When a woman encounters God in that way, she's the best mother ever. Bitterness and unforgiveness and malice and dirty things get out of your system. And you deal with people genuinely and sincerely. And anybody that comes to do anything terrible around your space, you don't need to talk. Then you see God rise on your behalf and shut them down. For when a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace. And if the enemy refuses peace, the enemy will shut down. And that's why sometimes they are sending people where you try to touch them, they will not. That this person, he cannot be touched. You know why? He has not created his space. This heart is too good. This heart is so loving. So okay, you can't do that. In the realm of the spirit, God begins to raise voice for you. because you have opened up your heart and you are transparent and you are doing the right things, people want to take advantage of that. God goes ahead to shut them down on your behalf. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Yes. Say, if I'm that nice, they will take advantage of me. No, just continue. You see? No. Nobody can take advantage of you like that. Stand your ground in God and always present them before God and say, God, I present this matter. You don't know how serious it is to God that you have decided to do the things that he has said. You have decided to live the quality of life. He will go the extra mile to defend you. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning, church? So open up your heart in this season of your life and say, God, create in me a clean heart. I want to be changed. I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to be a bitter person. I don't want to be, you know, there are people, they just soliloquize every day. They're just talking to themselves. Talking. They don't know what they're doing. Da, 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 on the road. Da, 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 da. They're always complaining. They're always murmuring. It's a bitter life. Make up your mind. I will never live that life. And pray yourself out of that place. You see what happens to the snake. I told them, even the eagle does the same thing. When the snake sheds its skin, in other words, I'm tired of this skin. I can't wear this one again. Then the snake finds a means. After several years, some of us have seen this skin. You know, that's called molting. The snake will come out of that skin and say, this is not who I want to be. There are many of us, before God wants to give you something, he wants to change you so that you can handle that thing. Because if you don't have capacity to handle the things that God wants to put in your hand, you waste them. And God is not a God who lives in the waste realm. Am I communicating? Are you getting what I'm saying today? Yes. I shared with them also that one of the things that prayer does is, number two, those of us who are here, please get the, for just enjoy it a little bit. I can't go deep like we did it that day, but let me just throw a little bit here and there. I say we pray to reverse past decisions made in the realm of the spirit and influence future decisions. We pray to reverse past decisions. Sir, listen, there are decisions that were made before you were born. There are altars that people were sacrificed to. Some of us saw the other day on social media where they were raising a little child and sacrificing a child to an altar, you know, and all that. Some people, there are some foundations that are terrible. They speak bitterness, they speak wickedness, they speak evil. In the place of prayer, listen, I'm telling you this truth. Please get this right and let it sink into your heart. In the place of prayer, you can reverse things. I showed us in Psalm 79, from verse 11 to 13. Psalm 79, 11 to 13. It said, let the groaning of the prisoner come before you according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to death. In other words, there are certain transactions. You know, God has a plan for your life. How many of us believe God has a plan for your life? Can you are sure you know God has a plan for your life? Very good. Put your hands down. How many of us also believe that Satan has a plan for your life? You don't believe? You better believe. See, God has a plan. Satan has a plan. Your soul as it is in a place of bargain. God knows the value of your soul, and that's why he sent Jesus to save you. Satan knows how that he also wants that person. You don't think that Satan is foolish and just going around? Why did he go to the Garden of Eden? Everything God places demand on, Satan begins to contend for. Every grace, if God sees that you're going to raise a generation that will be powerful and quality children will come out of you, Satan will paint a reverse picture so that they will be deadly children. If God sees that a quality family will come out of you, Satan will paint a reverse picture. He's always doing the opposite of what God wants to do. And don't assume in your heart that Satan has no plan. No, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. For the devil, your adversary, is going about like a roaring lion. He's seeking for whom to devour. Then in the next verse, you should resist him steadfastly in the faith. That's what you do in the place of prayer. You resist him. Say, no, my life is not that one. You can't. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Reproof him for a sake, saying, touch not my anointed. In other words, Satan has planned to touch, but God can say, touch not my anointed. Are you getting what I'm saying today? So just as God has a plan for your life, there are some lineage now, there are some people, there are some lineage from the foundation of the world. If they align with God's plan and purpose, they're supposed to be generations of priests and prophets. But as I speak now, they are babalawos. Satan has conjured their system into that and align their destiny there. And that's why even when people come from those kind of backgrounds and they come to serve God, they also serve God at a high pitch level with unusual grace and unction. Why? It runs that is the kind of life the person will live by divine plan. And if God handles it, it will work that way. If Satan handles it, it will go the opposite direction. There are certain business people that God knows. Go look at how Jacob prophesied to his sons. He called different things. He didn't say all of you are going to be priests. No. Some are business people. Some are captain of industry. He called all of them and told them great different things have happened in their life. Satan can hijack that destiny and turn it upside down. Reuben, thou art my firstborn. The excellency of dignity and power. The destiny of Reuben. He said the excellency of dignity and power. That your destiny, that's where it's supposed to be. As a firstborn, you're supposed to get a portion. He said because you are unstable as water, you will not excel. In other words, in the destiny of Reuben as the first, he was supposed to excel, but Satan took advantage of it by using his mistake to rope him into something, and Reuben began to die. All of his descendants, at the point, he said that they will remain just 700 people. And this guy's family would die. The women will not even have husbands to marry. Everything will be wasted. Then the prophet came and prophesied and spoke over Reuben and said, in prayer, all that Reuben will live, that he will not die, that his men will not be few. Am I communicating this morning? So one of the things you do, you are not conscious. We know we pray different kinds of prayers, you know, but God has given us an excellent way of prayer in the New Testament. And it doesn't matter whether you don't pray in tongues right now, but you need to understand that it is necessary and it is a higher dimension of prayer for the believer in the New Covenant. And so you desire and say, Lord Jesus, I desire the gift of the Holy Spirit, evidence of prayer in tongues. He will not withhold it from you. It's whether you desire. Some people are still arguing it. They still have questions. They still have doubts. Well, stay in that realm until you get knowledge about it. Of course, if you want more knowledge, we always give knowledge from time to time to teach people how to understand what it means in the New Testament. But you see, when you begin to pray, the Bible says, he that prayeth in an unknown tongue, howbeit he speaketh mysteries unto God. He's speaking what? Mysteries. You know what a mystery is? Something that is coded. Something that is coded. So sometimes you are not aware that while you are in the place of prayer, you know how that you are praying sometimes and something evil is about to happen in the day. Then there's a prompting in your heart to pray. You don't know why. You just know you are restless. You normally will not pray by that time. Then you say, no, let me just start praying. Then all of a sudden something happens in the day. Then God reveals to you and says, this is why I called you to prayer. You know why? God can never do things in the realm of men without using a man. That is how it works in this territory. God will never come down from heaven and enter this place by himself and change things. Every time something evil will happen on the face of the earth, God will raise a man to pray. Every time something good will happen on the face of the earth, God will raise a man to pray. God's method. Amen. Men are God's method. Did you hear what I said? That's God's method. Check everywhere through the scripture. God wants to do it. He said, behold, I sought for a man. What was he looking for? He said, I'm looking for one man that will stand the gap. In other words, God, do what you want to do. I cannot do anything without a man. I cannot do anything without a man. I have given the earth to the sons of men. And anyone whose heart aligns with me, I will give them the privilege to do unusual things. I cannot function without a man. That's why you see different times in scripture, I sought for a man. I sought for a man. When they were going to fight the battle, God wanted Barak to fight. Barak could not. He raised Deborah. In the Bible, it shows every time the men are supposed to rise and they fail to rise, a woman will arise. Anytime a woman arises, before I told them, say, men and women refuse to arise, I'll raise stones. But the counsel of God must stand. Are we here together? So in the place of prayer, while you are there, you are praying, neko sakapa. There are not too many prayer points. You know, when you are in your secret closet with God, the problem with us is that some people are still very used to getting, you know, I need 320 prayer points, 420 prayer books on this. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but see, sometimes stay alone with God. In fact, one of the reasons we pray so that we can get prayers to pray about. Do you understand what I said? You open yourself before him in the place of worship. Then there is a burden in the heart of God. There is something he wants to achieve. Then while you are praying, God gives you a matter to pray about. If you always depend on one prayer point or the other, you will never have matters from God. You'll be praying things that men have written. There's nothing wrong with that, but God wants to give you a matter, a burden to pray about. Am I communicating? So sometimes I enter the place of prayer and I've not crafted any prayer point and I'm there. But when I'm coming out with a burden. I'm coming out with something. I'm coming out with a voice. I was praying the last time in the morning prayer. And while I was praying strongly here, as we were just praying, it just came to my spirit. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Kai. This God will just drop it in your heart and say, this is what to pray about right now. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I do not know now will serve me. I will stay on that thing for like 1 week. There is a reason why God dropped that scripture. There's something he wants to achieve. Sometimes you are walking 10 years into your future. Sometimes you are walking 15 years because God is working out something in the place of word, prayer. So imagine that concussions have been done in your family lineage, and they have said A, they have said B, they have said C, and when they did it, you were not alive. Nobody is alive to even tell. And all the things that have been done there, it's now working on everybody's life. So everybody gets to that limit, and somehow that's what works for them. That's how it works for them. Every time they get there, they get cut short. Every time someone gets there, things are not working. Every time someone gets there, nothing is working. Then one man discovers the instrument and the mechanism of prayer and begins to pray. And God is always saying, I am looking for a man. I desire to help a family. I desire to bring them out. But many people are too lazy to come out. And the ones that are coming out, they are not even coming out the right way. And that's why God is teaching us the right way to go about these things. So you come to the place of prayer, then you begin to place a demand. Then sometimes you wake up and you realize that it's as if the responsibility of bringing everybody in your family out is now upon you. You just begin to sense it that, I feel I am going to do something in this family. Now, I've said it before, there's no one person in the family that is a custodian of everything. Whoever connects with light first becomes the deliverer. Whoever. Even when Jacob had taken all the blessings, Esau did not have anyone. Guess what the father told him? He said, the day you too, you become restless. The day you become uncomfortable with where you are. Anytime people become uncomfortable where they are, God will arise and stretch his hand of mercy on that person and use the person as the vessel. Is anybody getting what I'm saying this morning? Please listen to me. So imagine things have been done in the foundation and it's affecting people. All the ladies can't get married. Everyone cannot even stay in their husband's house. Everyone is having issues with this. Sometimes there's financial stagnation that cannot be explained. There's some kind of financial issue that cannot be explained. And the devil waits for the person to hit a particular mark and he will clear it and come back again. Then the person will hit. Then through frustration, the person is tired. I say, what kind of life is this? And there are some covenants that might have been made. Now you are born again, you have found Christ. Then God begins to open your eyes to see that, listen, that you are born again doesn't mean that you automatically have escaped. You must lay hold of the word of God. Listen to what the Bible says. It said in the book of Acts of the Apostles, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up. In other words, you will need a building up by the word of God. Then you can get your inheritance among those who are sanctified. So among those who are sanctified, everybody has inheritance. But you will be commended to the word of God, the word of his grace. It will build you up, then hand over your inheritance to you. And that's why God says one of the things that builds us up again. He said, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. When you begin to pray, you are building. You know what you do in the place of prayer? You are allowing the Holy Ghost inflate you. How many of us know that a balloon looks so useless when it has no life in it? The beauty of the balloon comes out when it's inflated. In the place of prayer, the Holy Ghost is inflating you. The Holy Ghost is inflating you. Kakazwanda rabashakapaya. Ereko seiga dadadabaya. Rakatuna. Then what did not look beautiful? All of a sudden, beauty begins to come. All of a sudden, light begins to come. Then the things that have been done in time past, in the place of prayer, as you are praying, you step out of time. You enter the realm of God. It's called timeless eternity. The place where they don't have record of time. In that place, you can go back 100 years into the foundation of your family. Go there. Rearrange everything that needs to be arranged for yourself. Turn on the button. Come out of that place in the place of prayer. Then you start getting results on this other side of time. Why? Life is spiritual. And it doesn't matter what anybody has done. God said, I will restore to you the years. In other words, you live in time. God does not live in time. God does not have past. He does not have present. He does not know future. God is God. In the now, he is God. Then when you start praying, guess what happens? I shared with them how God explained it to me. You know, when I was studying. If you call somebody maybe in a different time zone, you pick up your phone and you call somebody in a different time zone. Hello? And you say, good morning. Then the person is conscious and say, it's not morning or it's evening. What do you do automatically? Oh, sorry, good evening. Before you now start saying that, we are in morning here. That's what happens in the place of prayer. When you begin to pray, it's like you're saying, good morning, Jesus. And by the time God wants to do something, he takes you out of morning into timeless eternity. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you are aligning with that person to agree now that, oh, sorry. You are now even apologizing and say, oh, sorry. We're actually mourning in our own realm. And we say, okay, no problem. If two time zones on the face of planet Earth, they can have two different time zones. Do you think that where God is it the same time zone? Forget it. And guess what? God's place doesn't have time. It's a place where everything is in the now. What happened 3,000 years ago, God is seeing it now. What will happen 10 years ago, God is seeing it now. Everything is now. Prayer takes you into that dimension so that you are partnering with God in the realm of now. So you can undo things that were done 200 years ago in your foundation and come out and be the deliverer of many. That's the power of prayer. The same prayer can move you into the future. The same prayer can move you into the future. You just realize that you are praying and God has seen. They are meant, he said, to deliver those who have been appointed unto death. In other words, Satan has fixed the day they will die. God knows the day everyone will leave the place upon earth. Each of us, is that not? Satan has his own date for you too. No, do you think Satan is a stupid guy who will just allow everything work? Why did he enter the Garden of Eden? In the place of prayer, the Bible says you can undo the works of darkness. What did Jesus Christ come to do? The Bible says, for the Son of Man, what did he come to do? He has come to do what? To destroy the works of what? Darkness. In other words, darkness has arranged its own works. But what did Jesus Christ come to do? To destroy it. And he said, as the Father has sent me, that is how I have also sent you. You are the one that will stand in the place of prayer. You must value prayer so much. Not because you want to receive things, but because you are there. Many things happen when you begin to pray. Many things begin to happen. As you are praying and your heart is poured out, God steps into the future. The death that Satan fixed by himself, he said, those who have been appointed unto death. Satan has decided this is when they will die. And God has shown another date in the future. And he says, never. In the place of prayer, you can blot out those handwritings. And you will enter into alignment with divine will. Every day, you want to stay in alignment, prayer is the way. Prayer keeps you in alignment. Prayer keeps you in God's time zone. Prayer keeps you in God's perfect will, plan, and purpose. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Don't wake up any day of your life and just stroll out like that and think that everything... No. Don't do like that. Understand that God has a plan for your life. Understand that prayer can alter things, and that's why you have to pray. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, pray. Say to the person, pray. Don't joke with prayer. You cannot joke with prayer. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. And one of the things the devil is trying to do in this season is to underestimate the power of spiritual realities and spiritual things, because there are too many fakes everywhere. So it's making it look like even the real cannot be seen. But sir, there's never been a fake until there is a real. You cannot have a copy of something that does not exist. It is because it does exist that you can create a copy. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? So in the place of prayer, you can sit down there and begin to reverse. God has ordained the kind of person you will marry, the kind of children you have. Then Satan has decided to pair you with somebody that you will stay the next 20 years of your life struggling and fighting and quarreling, and everything will mess up. Then in the place of prayer, you begin to alter it. You begin to walk in the... And that's what Jesus Christ taught on the prayer. One of the prayer, he said, even in that line, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? So there is a will in heaven, but on earth it can be different. So the things on earth now, they look so different. But if you want to get answers, you stay in the place of prayer and compel and command and place a decree that the will of God as it is in my life in heaven, the picture that God has seen concerning me, my children, my family, my business, my career, my destiny, as it is in heaven, I enforce it here. How? In the place of what? Prayer. You enforce the will of God in the place of prayer. It doesn't just happen. So Jesus Christ stayed in the garden and he was praying. And when Jesus was praying in the garden, the Bible says for 3 hours. The first time he went to the place of prayer, and when he got there, he prayed, he prayed. He was sweating. And as he was praying, placing a demand that what we agreed in heaven, God, despite the fact my heart is about to deviate to the other side, I see the pain, I see the shame, I see the agony. But Jesus, he was praying to the Father. He said, Father, let your will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. In the place of what? Prayer. And he came back after 1 hour. He went back, and he, again, the same prayer point. He came back to look at disciples. These guys were sleeping. He said, Kai, he needed partners to partner with him to enforce it. But the guys were not ready. See, there might be nobody to help you. You need to help yourself. Jesus Christ went back again for the third time. That's how many hours prayer? 3 hours in that night. And he was praying one thing. He said, God, I see that Satan has another plan. He has an agenda. And the agenda of Satan is simple. To thwart the agenda of God. So that Jesus can change his mind and not go to die again. Because Peter already said it. Say, far be it from you. Why would you die? You cannot die. And when he said it, what did Jesus Christ say to him? Get behind me, Satan. The next night he said, you don't discern the things of God. You don't know how to figure out the things of God. Another time he told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desire to have you. But I have what? Just don't If you don't pray. And everything began to play out. Small, small. Satan. Peter was about to dance to the tune of Satan. Peter was about to dance to the tune of Satan. Guess what Jesus Christ did? Jesus Christ went future and corrected the line for Peter. And after he corrected the line in Peter's life, he came back and said, Peter, Satan has desired, whatever the date is, he didn't mention to us, but there is a date in the future, to have you. He said, but I have entered that future in the place of prayer. I have settled your matter. He said, Peter, when you are reconciled, reach out to your brothers also. In other words, I have made you the head, the one that will do that. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Everything that should happen in the life of Peter in the future, that Satan had planned to rip him off. Jesus said, from here, from place of prayer, I entered the future. I corrected everything. And I'm just telling you that when your life works, hold your brothers. Prayer can arrange things. Prayer can make things work. The last one I'm going to touch this morning, based on our theme, prayer is an instrument of assessing the mercy of God. Prayer. 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 You know, each time people sing that song, it sounds very strange. You know, to some people, because it looks biased. And we live in the generation that's always thinking that way. When they say, Modupe Moria Nuba, Tori Gugu, Tori Kinshe Gugu, Gloria Nuba. Then somebody's going to say that, we should not see, let's leave. Why? Why? He's looking as if we are talking about people that did not listen. It's not everybody. It's not, you cannot come and kill yourself. Everybody cannot obtain mercy. Because some people do not understand how to assess it. Some people are not even willing, they're not even interested. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the songwriter is saying, I am grateful that I have found mercy. I am grateful that I have found what? Mercy. Sir, if not for mercy, our life will be messed up. Are you getting what I'm saying now? If not for mercy, our lives will be messed up. Every person must understand, as a child of God, I am a product of God's word, mercy. And there's a way to assess that mercy. In the place of prayer, we assess what? The mercy of God. In the place of prayer, we assess the mercy. And that's what we're going to be praying. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 14. He says, seeing that we have a high priest who is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our word, confession. Let's hold fast the things we are saying. Let's hold fast the things we are confessing and declaring. Let's not say, because things are going like this, I'm changing my confession. Because it's not going as planned, my vision cannot work again. My business, no. Hold fast. Why? He said, seeing that we have a high priest that has passed through the heavens. Now, what is he doing in that place as a high priest? Listen, the Old Testament high priest will go into the Holy of Holies and stand before God on behalf of the people. Why? Because the people cannot help themselves. The people are not pure enough. Even himself is not pure. So he first kill an animal for himself to obtain the mercy of God. Then after he has done that, he will now kill another one for the people and enter the Holy of Holies. What is in the Holy of Holies? The mercy seat. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So he will take the blood and enter the Holy of Holies. When he gets there, the real place to do the work is the mercy seat. Upon the mercy seat, the blood will be poured. And for 1 year, the blood, the sins of the people will be forgotten permanently. And God will begin to show them mercy. So he said, make the Ark of the Covenant and have a place that is called mercy seat. Mercy seat. So that when people do things, and ordinarily they should be destroyed, I can look upon that place. And that's why another time he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That the angel of destruction will not come upon you. Today, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy every hand of destruction over any family, over any life, by the hand of God's mercy, it is reversed in the name of Jesus. I say it is reversed in the name of Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16 is powerful. He said, let us therefore come how boldly to the throne of grace. When we come there, why are we there? That we may obtain, that we may lay hold of, that we may take our portion of the mercy that we need and find grace to help in times of need. So you are going for a job interview, and while you are going there, God already has seen that there are mistakes you will make, and they will never give you the job. Then in the morning, he presses in your heart to demand for his mercy. Then you don't know why you just start saying, God, have mercy on me. As I'm going today, show me mercy. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. Then you enter the place, you discuss. And after you have had the conversations, interview, maybe a project or something, you're supposed to get a job or opportunity. And right there, you still made that mistake. Pow. You made the mistake. Then because of the prayer you have prayed ahead, they saw the mistake. And they said, well, we have seen that there's a mistake here. Ordinarily, we will not have picked you, but mercy is that instrument that brings a but that covers your weaknesses and gives you an advantage. That's mercy. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? But you see, we have analyzed everything. Then that mercy can even make somebody else who would have qualified for that thing not even come for that interview that day. Ah, you don't know what mercy does. Mercy is serious, Ojoro. When God, when you plead the mercy, he can overlook many things and just show up for you. Because mercy shows the meekness of your heart. Mercy shows that you are saying, I am not adequate. I am not capable. I am not strong by myself. I am not relying on my confidence, my skill, my expertise, my intelligence. I am not relying on what I know. See, as we are in the month of September now, October now, what many of us need to end this year, December, and still smile is mercy. Where we are now is mercy. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we approach, as we begin to pray, there is a release of help. Then God begins to send help. My wife was just giving me another story this morning before she left for church. And by the way, she went to Ojodi Church. You know, so she was just talking to me and she was like, ah, that is a testimony. Her friend called her again. I shared about one of the friends of my wife that he's been very active with things of God. And in fact, the last property they had last year, they were doing something in church and he gave the property out to church. Then God sent one man into his life. And that man showed up in his life, bought him a house. Just last week or so, he bought his own wife a house. And they did not have land as at 1 year plus when he handed over everything he had to God. And I started saying, God, but... And God said, many people are doing the same thing, but not from their hearts. What God looks at is the heart. The heart. The heart. And do you know the funny thing? She said, it's as if that man entering their life is like an angel. And you know, there's a circle you enter, your life will change. The person has certain connections that connects and connect and connect. And all the people in the person's circle, they are big. It's not somebody you are doing business with and you say, my percentage is 10%. They'll be dragging 10% for 2 years. 10%, say, no problem, what's 10%? It's poor people that drag 10%. You don't bother, just say 10%. Just make sure you do a nice job. Do you understand? Say yes. And 10% of what I'm talking about can be a property of 1 billion. What is the 10%? Eh? Eh? 1 billion. What's the 10%? You don't even know. You have forgotten this. When people enter your life by the mercy of God, they don't brag about what they are doing. They are so humble to do it. They will be very humble. They will be doing it with all humility. It is the mercy of God leading. The mercy of God overlooks your weaknesses. The mercy of God overlooks your flaws and creates an advantage for you. Today, as I speak by the hand of God, everyone under the sound of my voice, every inadequacy that the devil is trying to take advantage of in your life, today, the mercy of God will speak over you in the name of Jesus. The areas of your disadvantage, the mercy of God will cover in the name of Jesus. This is one area we're going to sit. Philippians chapter 2 verse 27. Paul was speaking and Paul said that, this guy would have died. Philippians 2 chapter 27 said, for indeed he was sick almost unto death. He said, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but me also. Lest I should have what? Sorrow upon sorrow. Guy. So to avert sorrow upon sorrow, you need what? Mercy. Paul said, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow, but the mercy of God spoke for me. There are many times everything you have done in your life would have gone down the drain, but the mercy of God just speaks for you. And they are asking, why is it that she's the only one? Why is it the only one? Brothers and sisters, it's not for anything that I have done. I placed a demand on the mercy. I know by myself I cannot do anything. I know that I cannot help myself. Then the mercy of God begins to speak for me. Anytime you feel inadequate, you feel adequate in yourself, you feel complete that you can perfect everything by yourself, you might not be able to access mercy. Mercy is for those who are broken. Mercy is for those who are saying, God, I have made a mistake. I don't know how to correct it. Mercy is for those who are saying, God, these things that I have sown, if I have to reap the harvest of the evil I have sown, I will die one day. Let your mercy speak for me. Then God will show up and say, yes. The Bible says he has pleasure in those who desire his mercy.
God has pleasure in those who desire his mercy. This morning, somebody is connecting the mercy of God in the name of Jesus. One of the ways that you can access mercy is to carry the burden of God. Somebody say, carry the burden of God. I can hear you say it louder. We're going to pray a few minutes before we get into the praise worship session of the service this morning. Carry the burden of God upon your heart. If you want to access mercy, you have to carry the burden of God upon your heart. The burden of God. And what's the burden of God? 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Please put it there. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Fast, please. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Child of God, listen. The heart of God is that men will come to repentance. The desire of God is that souls will be saved. What God wants to see is that many will turn to righteousness. I can guarantee you, listen, you cannot engage actively in soul winning, reflecting the heart of God, pushing for the things that God desires, and he will not show you mercy. That is automatic mercy that you're activating over your life. There are certain things you do, mercy is automatically activated. Why? You are carrying the burden of God. You are carrying the desire of God. You are allowing what is in the heart of God stay in your heart. See, don't let anybody deceive you. You know, if you go and check scripture by yourself, the last thing Jesus said when he was going, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he said, he has sent us to go and save these guys. It takes mercy to preach the gospel when you know people are going to die and go to hell. I hope you know that. Sir, if you have a heart of mercy, you can never be comfortable watching people go to hell. May God open our eyes one day and show us what hell looks like. May God just open our eyes one day and give you a glimpse. A glimpse. One man of God got a glimpse one morning and he was disturbing my phone. Sir, if I tell you what I saw, I said, wait, small. He said, no. I'm going on the street now. I want to go and preach to everybody. I said, you cannot preach to everybody, but go, no problem. He said, hey, what I saw in that dream. Ah! He had an encounter. You know, people can talk you out of many things. They can't talk you out of your encounters. When you have an encounter, forget, you don't need anybody. As they argue, you say, shh, sit down. I know what I saw. You can't argue the things that I saw. He saw a dream that morning and his heart began to bleed. And God gave him some instruction and said some things to him. This guy was active, very active, powerful. Where he was pushing his, you know, worldly song very strong. Today, he's a pastor, full serious one. And his mother eventually told him, I dedicated you to God. You were going on a different direction. And each time the mother looks, she doesn't know what to say. She has said everything she can say. He will not listen. The mercy of God located him and brought him back into divine alignment. Because that's what the mother said. We have negotiated this thing. People can pray you. Some of you are doing the wrong. Somebody has prayed you somewhere. You too, you do it. You pray your people somewhere. Soul winning automatically activates the mercy of God on people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know why? The Bible says, blessed are the merciful. They will obtain mercy. When you preach and bring somebody to Christ and their soul becomes saved, you have shown them mercy, because every believer has what it takes to show somebody mercy. Each time we step out on the street and we preach Christ to somebody, we are showing them mercy, because we as well would have left them and they would die and go to end damned eternity. But you open up your heart and you say, I will preach Christ to somebody. If I don't know how to preach it, I will bring them. Come and hear the word of God. Maybe it will change your life. Somebody brought you. Somebody introduced Christ to you. Today, you can say you have escaped eternal damnation because somebody showed you light. Who would you show light? Accessing the mercy of God through obedience. Because when you obey the word of God, he said we should go and preach the gospel to all creation. When we do that, we have assessed the mercy of God through the instrument of what? Obedience. Just obeying God. I told you, obedience is God's love language. When you follow the path of obedience and you follow his heart, automatically, nothing will deprive you from assessing mercy. And that's why that's the reason some people are treading on a glorious path. No matter what you say, no matter the accusation, no matter the social media noise, no matter the other, it does not work. The question God will look at in heaven is, are you doing what they do? Do you know what they do? There are certain things people have done. They have written themselves in the heart of God and engraved it permanently. No devil anywhere can stop them. And one of those things is souls. When you have passion for souls, when you desire to see other people saved, when you desire to see the light shines on other people, when you desire to stand as an intercessor and you are praying and say they cannot stay in darkness, in the name of Jesus, they must come out. Light must shine. Destinies must be lifted. In the name of, you are praying people out from darkness. You are praying them out. Sir, you cannot walk in darkness if you are doing it from your heart. Not when they have to beg, they have to force, they have to coerce, they have to, just like when people, pastors come and they want to raise funds, they force, they beg, please, if you have 1,000, come, 500, 15 naira, 2 naira. And people will come like, that's not how people receive blessing. When you speak and God opens the heart of people, leave it there. I hardly have time to start talking many things too much. When it's time to raise anything, I announce it, I leave it there. Whoever God touches the heart will do it. The willingness. Willingness. First, there must be a willing heart. So as we're talking about soul winning, let your heart be willing. When we say we're going out to evangelism on Saturday, then they go. Who will be then they? Then they. Where are you? Then they go. Then they. Hey, brothers and sisters. Hey. You know here, yeah, you say what you say, then they go for evangelism today. Never. Don't be like that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing, including mercy, shall be added unto you. You know what I'm saying here now? Seek first the kingdom of God and every other thing. Every other thing. Sir, you automatically put yourself on a mercy line when you start evangelizing to souls. When you have the heartbeat of God. When what beats the heart of God beats your heart. I have said it over and again. I know somewhere, somehow in my heart, that when I was passionately pursuing for souls, going everywhere, any secondary school possible, they give me access, I will go. I enter hospital, whether they call me or not, I'll send letter just to come and preach. I was just doing it like a mad person. Little did I know, I was setting myself up for something. And I see that at least we can say we have started 0.5 over 100. We are going somewhere. 0.5. I don't know what 2% will look like. I don't know what 50% will look like. But I know that when a man is totally sold out to God, God will be sold out to you. It doesn't matter whether you're whoever in the marketplace. You don't have to be a pastor, a prophet, evangelist. No, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every one of us. If they talk about souls and your heart is not doing it, not is in your heart, that heart will close. Hey, you don't know what I'm saying? Your neighbors, your family members, you can be winning another person's life. Eh? And God has gone ahead to win the soul of your own brother, your sister. Why? You sow the things that you reap, the things that you sow. So there are people in your family space, they will never listen to you if you preach to them. But you left them and say, no problem, let me go and try this one. And as you are busy doing this one, God is sending somebody else to them to save their souls. If you know what it means for your brothers and your sisters not to end in endless dark eternity, you will do this thing I'm saying. So willing is the heart of God. Many people will say all manner of things that, so winning. Now, to increase the church of the pastor, okay, look at what we'll do. Leave that one. Open your own church and be winning, so I increase your own. No problem. Just be winning souls. I beg you, if that is the thing you think, just go. No problem. If you are in this church and you think that is the way it works, no problem. Just come. If we have money, we can rent shop for you to start. Just give it a shot. Be bringing people, and just win their souls. If it is easy, you know the work of a pastor looks very easy for everybody. You me? Yes. You see this voice that you saw now? Has it changed? Yeah, that's how it works. God, no matter the devil, I'll be on my duty. I'll be a good soldier, I'll die at my post. It doesn't matter. I've had days where I started and I wanted to start a serious fasting. And I knew that fasting will last me like fasting the whole year. And the first thing I heard in my mind is Satan said to me, he said, you get sense? I was not married then. He said, fine boy, you will ugly, your throat, your neck will be long, your throat will be like this. I said, Satan, let me be ugly now. I want to be ugly. May I be ugly for the sake of God? And I entered. Sir, when you lose yourself in God, God will turn around everything for you.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.